Hey, welcome to Prop Live Q&A. I'm Bill. This is your weekly prop and costume making Q&A session. And we have a guest today. We're going to answer your prop making questions. I just realized I need to make sure that Brad's audio is working. Brad, can you say something?
Is my audio working
great? Your audio is working great. That's fantastic. it's fine. I've only done like 150 of these things. I figure I should, at some point, get all this stuff knocked out, but it'll probably never happen.
Check, 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Brad. Welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I've been watching this for forever.
That's awesome.
It kind of blows my mind that I'm sitting here talking with you, Bill.
if for some reason you guys watching at home have not heard of Impact Props, then you can go to impactprops.net. To go see everything that's going on over there, which is both amazing prop and costume making and fantastic video making.
Thank you.
With all of your shenanigans that kind of turned into this Master Chief thing you've been doing lately, which I've been enjoying myself quite a bit.
Well, thank you so much.
And I wanted to personally congratulate you for surpassing 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. But I have to amend that, because not only did you pass 200,000, but you also surpassed us. So, congratulations.
Oh, no.
So, bravo. Well done. You and your guys over there are kicking ass and taking names for good reason. And if you guys aren't watching the Master Chief series they've been doing, then what are you doing? Head on over to impactprops.net or look up Impact Props on YouTube. Subscribe to them and watch all the videos.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Obviously, you've been putting a lot of effort into those videos, including one at Dragon Con featuring some of our wonderful friends.
Featuring you, Bill.
Me and Britt as Sweepy the Robot. But also Harrison and Evil Ted, which was one of my favorite parts. but I'm curious, though, because a lot of the videos and content you've been making building up to that was really like dressing up in Halo costumes and doing goofy, fun stuff. The Master Chief videos is like a formal like story, like a vlog. Like, it seems like it's fairly well thought out. I'm curious, like, what was the inspiration to turn it into that?
Sure. Okay. So I guess we kind of got to start from mm-hmm. the beginning here. Impact Props does a lot of, we're mostly Halo and Destiny kind of related props and costumes. We make those kind of things. And I don't know. I kind of wanted to start vlogging in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to figure out a way that I could more or less do that without completely alienating my audience originally on YouTube. And that was back when we had like 20, maybe 20,000 subscribers. We were just throwing up stupid, Master Chief videos, doing whatever.
Like skydiving.
Right.
In a Master Chief outfit.
Skydiving. Yeah. What else did we do? We did some wakeboarding,
yep.
some wake surfing,
yep.
swimming. Probably a bad idea. That's kind of what we've been doing. And then I wanted to start vlogging, right? And so kind of came up with the idea of, hey, why don't we have Master Chief as this character that's like a friend? That way we can kind of vlog our lives, but also there's this unreal, you know, aspect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of how that started. But what? Like all these Living with Chief videos, they are pretty much vlogs. Like
right.
we go and we've tackled real life stuff. We're kind of traveling along the timeline of actually what's happening in at least my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's my life. It used to be like mine and my friends' lives in college. But it's fun that we're able to kind of, I don't know, grasp that Impact Props team vibe in the beginning of these videos, at least the first half of them. I guess that was another thing that I kind of wanted to capture and couldn't figure out really out a way to put that on the internet until we kind of do this series. So
yeah. The thing I like about that is, like, it's clear. Like, I watch a lot of YouTube videos. I watch a lot of, like, would-be vloggers, people who, it's clear when you watch them, they are trying to vlog like Casey Neistat or like another big vlogger, right? Which is cool, because those guys make amazing content. But at the very best, you will be a shy imitation of Casey Neistat, right? Whereas with what you guys are doing, like, no one else is vlogging as Master Chief as a real character, like as if he were a real character. It puts you in a completely separate category, and you still get to do the things that people love about vlogs, which I think is really cool, really creative solution.
Right. It gives us incentives to do, I don't know, crazy, just ridiculous things.
Yeah.
And of course, having a Master Chief character in it makes it a lot harder to actually do. But I don't know, when we go out in public for these videos, we actually, you know, Master Chief goes out and just interacts. We just kind of film and see what happens. Usually, you know, that's the format. But
I don't know. And fortunately, that generally someone's going to react in some way, and then shenanigans will ensue.
Not react. You're just a random. You know, you're going about your day. You go to Starbucks. You know, you get your coffee. You come out of Starbucks, and there's this Master Chief that's 6'2", and you're like, oh my gosh, what in the world is this? There's always reactions, and that's the fun part.
I'm curious if you have any big plans for this series coming up. Are you going to be traveling or conventions or anything coming up? Like, is Master Chief going on vacation? What's anything coming up that you want to share with us?
I've got some ideas. I don't have any conventions coming up. I usually go to 2 cons a year. It's always Dragon Con and RTX.
Yep.
Of course, I'm open to going to more, but my job doesn't really allow for it right now. Mm-hmm. So kind of trying to squeeze. And that's another interesting aspect about these videos is this is my spare time kind of thing, where I kind of funnel my hobby.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? But I got some fun ideas, some crazy ideas, but there's really, like, there's no plans for really traveling or anything like that, but it will happen. There's a lot of fun ideas that we have coming up on this board over here that you cannot see.
Oh my goodness. Secrets.
But it'll be good. It'll be good. We're going to do some fun.
Well, I'm excited. Perks,
you know.
I can tell the prop tarts are excited. They're whipped into a frenzy in the chat right now.
Awesome. Well, hi, Pop Tarts.
Speaking of, you guys in the chat, if you're watching live and you have questions about prop and costume making, or if you want to learn more about how Brad and the Impact Props team make their super fun videos, you can send in your questions over at punishedprops.com/live. That's where you submit them. There's just a little form there. You fill it out, sends it over to Brittany, and she organizes it for me in our show notes. That way, nothing falls between the cracks. So if you've got a question, head on over there right now, if you're watching live, and you can send it in. You can also send it during the week if you want. You just probably won't know who the guest is going to be. But you can send questions whenever you want. Speaking also, I'm going to quickly just shout out the prop tarts a little bit more. If you guys have questions about a certain project you're working on, you want feedback from the hive mind, you can go over to the Prop Tarts Facebook page and join it. It is now, let's see here. It is now, I clicked on the wrong thing. No, wait, there it is. 4,100 members deep. There are quite a few people there. This guy's working on the new K's Blaster from the new Blade Runner movie. And this guy's asking about putting lights in the eyes of a mask. This guy's got a bear head on his head. So there's all kinds of stuff going on in the Prop Tarts group. So again, awesome. If you want to have conversations throughout the week, you're looking for a fun group of people to help out, check out the Prop Tarts Facebook group. What else do we have here? I have not been up to a whole lot this week because I've been doing behind the scenes type work and sanding. Yay, sanding. But I did
put behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I did do my, it's hiding back here, my Blade Runner blaster repaint. So that's a squirt gun, and I repainted it. So that video came out on Monday. If you've missed it, go check it out. That was a lot of fun, and I put it back in the packaging. Oh, I can't move my head. There it is. I put it back in the packaging and put it up on the wall, and I think it's kind of fun. So that's really all I've been up to this week, and for some reason I'm exhausted. No, it's because I went to the zoo on Tuesday. That's why.
Giraffes and lions make you tired.
Yep, and maned wolves and river otters and what else do we have? There were a lot of fun fluffy zoo animals. You ever go to the zoo and like the animals just aren't out that day?
Yeah,
it sucks. Yep. Well, we went and all the animals were out. It was
like a sunshiny day. They should be out, you know, enjoying nature, you know, like animals do.
So it was this was a good zoo day. Lots of animals. I didn't make a video about it.
Gross me out, dude.
Dude, Master Chief should go to the zoo. That'd be pretty great.
I agree.
Gonna throw that one out there.
Love to see that orangutan reaction.
That one. That one's free. Hey, Evil Ted Smith is here.
Hello. Wow.
Evil Ted is here.
He What's says, up?
Hey, Impact Props. Evil Ted was in your Dragon Con video, and he was hilarious. All right, we have some questions from the Prop Tarts ready to go. So we're going to dive into those. You ready? You ready for this, Brad?
I'm ready to dive, dude.
All right, first one comes to us from John, spelled J-H-O-N.
Yes! Yes!
He says, why, Brad? I am not on the show. We all know I'm much better than you at this. People love me.
You're right. You should be right here, dude. I don't know what's going on with that.
Ah, that's true.
That's the best. Imposter.
It's probably the real Master Chief, I bet.
It probably is. Especially just how he spelled his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Next actual question comes from Ryan Lewis, and he says, is it lit, bro?
It's lit, Ryan. Okay, Ryan is one of the Impact Props.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the bomb. Oh my gosh, I just almost misspelled bomb. Misspelled bomb. Misspoke bomb. Ryan Lewis, you're the bomb. Holy cow, that was a mouthful.
Awesome. Okay, let's see here. Let's grab some more very serious prop making questions.
Yes, please.
Danny wants to know, do you think anyone from the Impact Props crew will be coming to California conventions in the future?
Good question.
Where are you guys? You are...
So, we're all kind of spread out right now.
Yeah.
I'm up in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan and Daniel are out in Oklahoma City. Caleb, he was in one of the last ones. He's out in Mississippi. And Eric's out in San Francisco area.
Yep.
So he's out in California. So if anyone's going to be going to any California conventions, he's going to be going to the California conventions. So I'm not sure, but it's always an option.
Mm-hmm. That is kind of interesting. You guys have a bit more like the Punished Props crew is me and Brittany, and we live together because we're married. And but you guys became friends through college and the internet, I predict, something like that.
Yeah. So Eric was on the internet. If you guys are familiar with the 405th,
mm-hmm.
It's the Halo costuming community. That's kind of how we met. We were kind of competitors on there. Like he would make something cool. I would try to make something the same thing. So it'd be like I'd make a Dragon Priest mask, and he'd be like, well, I'm going to make a Dragon Priest mask. And that kind of rubbed me wrong. And then we kind of figured out that we have different, I don't know, skill sets.
You complement one another?
Right. And so we decided to kind of team up on a build and see what happened. And he's really good at making helmets. And I just got into making the foam suits. And that's kind of how we started Impact Props. It was a little building partnership that, I don't know. The Facebook page was where we could post our stuff and, you know, just kind of feel free to put it all out there. And then I met some awesome dudes in college, my freshman year, Daniel, Caleb, and Ryan. Holy cow. And I don't know, freshman year, I actually met Ryan while I was running around campus in that Master Chief costume. I think that too.
Like, he saw a Master Chief running around campus. He's like, I got to be buddies with him.
What's that?
Yeah. We're going to be pals.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's just amazing how it all works. I met Eric back in 2013, San Diego Comic-Con for the first time, and I don't know. It's been downhill.
Cool. Yeah. So, Danny, look out for potentially seeing Eric.
Yes.
Over at some of the California conventions, since he's up in San Francisco area. Absolutely. And check out some of the, if you see some of the crazy Destiny guns that have been getting posted via Impact Props, that's his work over there. Him and Xander are living together and making some really amazing Destiny guns.
Incredible stuff, man. Yeah. He's been blowing me away. Making those mini guns, did you see that?
It's a really tiny one that opens the thing, the cylinder pops out. Yeah.
On the sunshot. How does he even get it out? Like, I don't even know. Ridiculous.
Fantastic. Thank you for the question. This one from our friends down in Puerto Rico. PR Props, happy to see that you are able to post things on the internet right now.
Yes.
He also would like to know, and I predict that this one is meant for Brad, not for me. How can I be as handsome as you?
Well, Jose, I've got a long tutorial on. Jose, you're the bomb.
It's all about moisturizer, right? Moisturizer.
Moisturizer, soap. Make sure you wash yourself.
Clean yourself daily. I can't recommend that enough.
Jose, you're awesome.
Yes, you are. Happy to see you on the internet. Thanks, buddy. Let's keep chewing through so far. Very, very serious prop making questions.
Oh my gosh, I'm learning so much.
This is great. Joven wants to know. Let's see here. I'm just starting making a costume, and my costume requires a visor. I want to know if there's a method to create one that looks professional. I should have Sean Bradley on this episode. That's what I should.
Oh, please. Yes, you should.
Are you
going to get him on?
I should. I can't remember if I've had him on here. I need to make a note of that. I'm going to make that in my notes. What do you guys do for your Halo visors? You buy them from Sean Bradley.
His technique is we use his technique. Mm-hmm. So for our chief helmet, we bought a nice little amber colored bubble visor, and we use this stuff called mirror chrome.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you spray it on the inside, it creates a transparent view from the inside while you not allowing you to see in from the outside. Insane reflective. Here, I can hold on a minute. Insane reflection.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So the visor itself, was that vacuum-formed?
This one wasn't. We haven't been able to create something that's been that reflective.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the Master Chief helmets that we have made have been vacuum formed, those visors. And it's the same technique that you use. My buddy Paragon Props helped me out with those. Mm-hmm. The ones we are selling online, we're sold out of form. But yes, mirror chrome on the inside. And the only problem with mirror chrome is it smudges. It smudges off, you know what I mean? Have you used mirror chrome?
No, I have not.
Oh, Bill, you should use mirror chrome, bro.
Trying to figure it out. The only thing that came up is a website about high blood sugar. I may have looked up the wrong thing.
Spaz Sticks.
There it is.
Spaz Sticks mirror chrome. And it comes in a small little can. It works very well coming out of just a straight can. But they also have an airbrush kind of deal. And you spray it on the inside, very light coat, just a couple coats, maybe one, see how you like it. The only problem with it is it does rub off. So what we decided to do was put a sheet of clear plexiglass or PETG, if you want to heat form it, which is what we did, on the inside, and just kind of sealed it off around the edges. And that way it can't rub off at all.
You just can't touch it. Yeah.
Right. And so I don't know. I haven't seen very many people that actually have that little protective barrier right there, but it definitely is a way to preserve your reflective finish.
Excellent. That's cool. That's something that's not intuitive to say, oh, we'll get a highly shiny spray finish and you can just see through it. It's like, oh, I wouldn't even think you can see through it. That's cool.
Right. Just spray it on the inside.
On the inside. Very important. And the plastic that it's going on is all nice and shiny, so it will be super chrome.
Absolutely.
I know there was another I can't remember what it was. But Evil Ted, who's in the chat right now, recommended something similar, and if he can speak up, let me know. He says you can seal the chrome with Future Floor Wax. It stops it from smearing. Oh. There you go. Which, it's not called Future Floor Wax anymore. It's called something different. We'll find a link for that and wow. throw it in the show notes.
Because that was one of like the biggest problems that I tried to, you know, figure out how to fix. Yeah, I tried to use like the clear, just the clear spray paint on the inside. And what that does is it combines the particles
yeah.
and makes it so you can't see through it. What's so cool about Mirachrome, it's such a fine mist that you can see right through.
That's awesome.
You know, the gaps, right? And that spray paint kind of combines all of that. So I don't know if that stuff works, man. I love that.
That'd be awesome. I'm gonna have to buy some of that and do some testing. Britt found it. It's called Pledge Floor Care now. Floor wax. I have some. I actually have that. I bought some because Ted said I should use it, and I haven't used it yet. But I have it. I just don't have the chrome. I'll get that too.
I'd love to see how that works.
Yeah, so that question came to us from Joven. Good luck. Visors, to get them really, really nice, it's highly technical. So, you know, don't get frustrated if it doesn't work perfectly the first time. Just keep at it. You'll do awesome. I believe in you. Thanks for the question. Let's grab this one from Spartan375X. If a grounded pound Spartan charge makes a comeback in the next Halo game, do you think there would be an achievement requiring you to smash it into a trash can? That would be amazing.
I pray that there comes a day where that's reality.
I know a couple people over at 343. I don't know if they could make that happen, but I'll bring it up in conversation.
Hey, man, they make grunts explode and scream and, you know, confetti everywhere. How can they? They can. Bill, come on.
Hey, I'll do what I can. I can't promise anything, but that'd be awesome. That would
be incredible. Holy cow.
That would be great if they made a trash can as a playable character in the next Halo game. That's what I think.
Halo 6, the Arbiter comes back with his new sidekick. Or not the Arbiter. Man, the Didact comes back with his new sidekick.
There you go.
Benny.
Thank you, Spartan, for the question. Let's see here. Hux Chambers wants to know. I'm trying to... let me start over. I'm trying to start selling replica props on Etsy, but I'm unsure about what the policies are when it comes to selling items affiliated with an existing IP without direct permission. Can you shed some light on the etiquette regarding copyright infringement? I can.
Take this one, Bill.
Yes, I will handle this one. So I'm going to do a longer video kind of diving into this later. A couple weeks ago, this popped up again in the community and people were emotional about it. but I can tell you this. It is probably better if you're going to sell things from, let's say, from Destiny. Because I have my Destiny gun right here. Because it's always within arm's reach. If you're going to sell stuff from a thing that someone else owns the IP to, it is usually a better idea to secure some sort of license with them. If you can, right? It may not be an option. It may not be the sort of thing that they do. But pursuing that is the least risky option. So it's not a matter... You're not going to get sent to jail if you sell a space gun from Destiny and they get mad about it. They'll just send you a cease and desist. They'll just tell you to cut it out. Now, if you are designing your business model around making money from that, and another company has the ability to tell you to stop selling those things... And they have the legal, the law is on their side. That's a terrible business model, right? It's a risky business model. It's about managing risk. So you can do it. You can go for it. Plenty of people sell plenty of things from stuff they don't have the license to. And they're just okay with taking that risk. For me, I don't sell replica props anymore. I used to because my wife and I both make all of our income from this business. And if we were relying on income from almost entirely from selling stuff that I don't have the rights to, that's way too risky for me. Because if that got, especially if everything I sold was from Mass Effect, Because then if EA gets upset at me and they and I have to stop selling all those things, then my income goes to zero and I can't feed my cats. So it's up to you to manage how much risk you're willing to take. If you pursue a license and you get a license, that is a much less riskier position. But then you're also managing different types of risk and different types of responsibility. So it's really, really up to you. I will say, in all the years I was selling props, I never once got a cease and desist. But that's just how it goes.
I did.
You did? Which one?
Bethesda didn't like us selling our... Actually... They didn't like us selling their Skyrim glass dagger. So,
and was that through Etsy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing to think about with Etsy is it's really easy for people to find your store, which is great. But it's also really easy for Bethesda to do a quick search or ZeniMax, who has a pretty good track record of being litigious. It's really easy for them to comb Etsy and find everything that they, and then just send them a cease and desist.
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to sell, and I don't know, I've done a lot of selling of just props on either Etsy or, you know, our website or something. It's legally, Bill is exactly right. If you find something, if you find like a company or a game that really values the community, right? Like Halo absolutely adores their community. They are so nice to the people that make their costumes, do their stuff. They see it as an advertisement. And it's great because, you know, they're showing us the same kind of affection that we are showing them. And Bungie, Destiny is the same way. You know, they're great. I don't know. So I guess it's all about reading. Just reading, you know, the type of company that makes your, I don't know.
Well, the irony is that the more successful you become at the more money you make at selling props, the more risky it is to continue doing it, because you will eventually reach a threshold where even a company that is very friendly towards the community, you'll reach a threshold where they're like, we got to step in. Like if you're making hundreds of copies of these things and selling them, at that point they're like, the guys in the legal department are saying this ain't cool and we have to go with what they say. So the more successful you get at it, the more risky it becomes, especially if you're relying on that income.
Right. And luckily for me, it's all about whenever I did sell something online, and that was more about, you know, being able to fund the hobby. Like being able to keep making these costumes, keep making, you know, yes, it was costumes back then. But I don't know. Yeah. Halo's 343 and Bungie. Rock on.
They're pretty awesome. I will also say, too, for most people in the community, if you're just building props and costumes for you and your buddies, this will never be an issue. Never be a problem. All right. Thanks, Hux. Good question. Again, I'm going to dive in and make a whole video kind of going over all that stuff. Next one here comes to us from Habiteer Workshop, another one of our awesome prop tarts. Curious about this Rat King exotic sidearm from Destiny that Eric made.
Yes.
Curious if you know what 3D printer was used for that. I have a hunch. I think I know. You don't know. I think I know.
I don't know specifically. He did tell me, but I forgot.
So I saw in some of the background pictures, because I'm a creeper on Facebook.
Ah, oh, Bill.
I believe I saw a Form 2 in the background of some of his build pictures. And I think that is how he made the tiny, teeny, tiny little sunshot. Because no other 3D printer could print like that. So I have a picture up on the screen right now. That's the sunshot next to a quarter. It's tiny.
It blows my mind.
Yeah.
Eric is so freaking talented.
And I'm scrubbing through his timeline, through the Impact Props timeline real quick here to see if I can find, I know I saw the Form 2 in the background. So I'm going to guess it was printed on the Form 2.
Let's just assume.
Yeah.
And if Eric, I don't know if Eric's watched, he's probably busy making things.
Yes,
But
he probably is.
if he's here, come on, buddy. Need your help.
I got the pleasure of borrowing a Form 2 from Form Labs for a couple months, and that thing is astonishing. Such a cool machine. I can't find the picture, but here's a picture of Eric in front of the bungee store with a bunch of guns he made.
Hey.
Oh, wait, that's the wrong one. There it is. There it is. Cool. All right. So speculation abound. Probably the Form 2.
Probably.
I wish I had still had that machine in my house. Next question comes from Nick. He's curious, what is the best masking tape for curved lines or other intricate lines? Do you have a favorite masking tape, Brad?
I don't.
All
I
right.
have the generic the blue one
Yep.
from Home Depot. But I know I've seen Harrison do a bunch of really cool things with some different types of tape. I'm not familiar with that kind of tape. I'm sure you are.
I am. I was actually watching him live stream masking the other day, which is a very exciting thing to watch. Or Harrison spends more on masking tape than most people spend on gasoline. Like, he gets the good stuff. This is Tamiya masking tape, so the brand Tamiya that makes paints and all sorts of good stuff. Their masking tape is really, really great. It comes in these tiny rolls in a variety of thicknesses. I have the 6 millimeter stuff. They have all kinds, though. They also make one that's masking tape for curves, and the tape, I believe, is vinyl, so it's kind of stretchy. So you can curve it around stuff. I have some of that too. I haven't used it very much. I generally prefer to mask stuff off, and then if there's a curve, I will mask over it and then cut the curve with an X-Acto knife and remove the extra. It's a little more wasteful, but it's very, very precise.
I just saved that link, Britt. You're awesome.
Yep, Tamiya masking tape. It is absolutely amazing stuff. It's the sort of thing where, like, you're like, how good could masking tape be? It just,
Pretty good.
you get it and you use it, and you're like, ah, how have I not known until now?
Frustrating because
Yeah.
I've done a lot of just using regular masking tape, and you have to, cut it and rip it, and then all the paint seeps underneath the
Yeah.
cracks, and it's gross. And
And it either doesn't stick very well or it sticks way too well.
yeah, come on,
Masking
guys.
tape. Up your game. If you're looking to up your game, start investing in masking tape.
Agreed.
There you go, Nick. To me, a masking tape. It's your friend. Let's see here. Brandon wants to know, what level of intricacy in costumes and props would you recommend for a person new to the maker community? I'm curious, Brad, what was the first costume that you made?
Man,
Was
first
it?
costume I made was kind of a Master Chief suit out of trash cans. Yeah, see, I don't have a picture of it. I've tried to find a picture of it forever. And I know that it exists, so I'm going to find it one of these days. But I literally went to the store at Walmart and bought like five or six of these, thinking just plastic trash cans. And I would get in there with these scissors and cut out all these parts and hot glue them together.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you've hot glued plastic to plastic before, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't really work too
No.
well. So I did that. I learned a lot. I don't know. It was pretty much a rough shape. But it really inspired me to keep going. And that's
Yeah.
kind of when I started learning about foam, is after that. Because
Yeah,
I didn't
what
really do a lot of research.
it's cool too. Like, nowadays, jumping into an armored costume as your first build isn't as intimidating as it used to be. Especially
Right.
if you go if you want to do something from Halo and you go to the 405th website, then you can see what a lot of other people are doing, and a lot of people have patterns already. So,
Oh, dude, tons of
yeah,
patterns.
and patterns are, like, if as a beginner, the hardest part to wrap your mind around. So, yeah, it really depends on what you want to make and what's available out there. Mass Effect is another good example. Like, someone made patterns for the Mass Effect 2 armor, and then everyone made it. I made like three of them, not even for myself. I made them for other people.
Right.
And because those patterns were already available, they were fairly intricate costumes, but I was able to make three of them in like a week and a half. That was right. Those are crazy days.
Templates are freaking awesome. See, everything that I've really done has been just freehand, pretty much.
Yeah.
And there's always that, you know, there's always the questions like, how do you freehand? And I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'll tell you what, too, if you are just getting started and you don't have any kind of torso form, like building armor around a torso can be some of the most complicated part. So we have a video on making a cheap plaster torso form. I highly recommend that. Or you could buy a mannequin that's roughly your body shape and pull patterns off of that. That's a really good place to start.
Duct tape dummies suck.
Yes. if it's your only option, duct tape dummies can be really good. I made a plaster casting of my torso years ago, and it is still going strong. It's also not the right size anymore, but that's that's besides the point. So yeah, there you go. More importantly than anything, build something you're going to have a lot of fun wearing and see what other people out there have been doing. Because if you can get your paws on some pre-made templates, like the Skyrim templates that I made last fall, then that'll help make the beginning process as painless as possible.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Braden. Next one here. Jonathan has a couple for us. He's curious. Got a picture of Master Chief here, your Master Chief costume. For the Master Chief armor, how were the bicep shields attached? He's got Velcro. He has Velcro on his, and he says it keeps sliding down. So, like the shield bits that are up on the upper arm there.
Sure. Yeah. So how I do that is you got your torso right, and so pretend my T-shirt is the torso.
Got it.
This right here is the nice little shoulder flap thing that you're talking about. So there's really no attaching up here. This shoulder piece is permanently attached to the torso.
To the shirt?
I actually have a buckle that clips right into that little shoulder piece. So you kind of got to reach your hand down in it and unclip it. Mm-hmm. And clip. But I found out that using clips, it's a lot more permanent. On my Locke costume, there's a lot of Velcro. And that's not great at all. Mm-hmm. It sucks because you never get it in the right place and it doesn't hold usually because this costume is heavy. But yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Buckles. Yes. Those I have those plastic buckles. Is that what you're talking about? Just plastic?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
I buy those like 50 at a time because mm-hmm. I use them for everything because they're like normally like a belt buckle. But I have... a lot of times, like, shoulder pieces will clip into, like, a strap across my neck. They'll buckle that way so that the shoulders aren't pulling on my shirt. They are pulling against one another across my neck so that they're not going to sag during the day.
That's good.
Yeah, anything like that can be really awesome. In contrast, Master Chief costume. My Mass Effect costume... Velcros to my shoulders and that shirt is falling apart and those shoulders are fairly big. They just pull on the shirt all day and start to sag. But I made that a very long time ago.
So right.
That's my excuse.
I found that permanent solutions are always great because they stay in the same place.
Yeah. Let's see here. The other question Jonathan had was, he's decided to try weathering with an airbrush. Can you recommend a paint to begin practicing with? Brad, do you have a favorite airbrush paint?
I actually don't use an airbrush.
Oh, he's a purist over here.
Purist, man. I just use spray paint, and, you know, dry brushing and, you know, I don't know. I just use spray paint. Eric does a lot of airbrushing. Mm-hmm. I think he's completely just turned over onto airbrushing.
Yeah, me too.
And so that's something that I'm really trying to get into or I'm going to get into. Here in a bit. So I'm actually having the same question, Bill, since I'm a cool. novice.
So a couple of things. I actually just bought a new airbrush, and I have a couple of really good Iwata airbrushes. They're dual action, like fine nozzle. And a couple of things. One, I'm horribly abusive to my tools. So that thing gets put away with paint in it all the time. It's almost always clogged, which I know, my fault. But also, like, the dual action gives you all this fine control, and I'm always just covering. So I actually bought a cheaper single action airbrush, just a Badger. I think the Badger 200. Looking it up right now. But yeah, it just poops out paint. It's not super, super cheap. It was like $60, but it's pretty awesome. Single action, you just hook up paint to it, and it just poops out paint. And it has a 0.75 millimeter nozzle, which is like this big, I think. It's gigantic. But if you need to get a lot of paint put out, then it works awesome. That's what I use to paint my Blade Runner gun back here. So
I painted a beautiful picture of that gun.
Of that pool. Orifice? Yeah.
It's my one. Mind. Incredible.
And then for the paint, all the paint I used on this gun, I still don't know how to move my head. This gun is all Tamiya paints. I really like Tamiya paints. They dry pretty fast. Createx does pretty good water-based paints, acrylics that are really good. So Createx... Yeah, Createx airbrush. If you look up Createx airbrush paints, they got a ton of great stuff. And then Tamiya has, along with their tape, you can get a bunch of paint as well. So, awesome. So what's try your, those out. What was that?
What's your opinion on the generic Hobby Lobby airbrush paints?
I don't know. I've never tried those.
You haven't?
No. What's cool, the Createx paints are, because they're designed for an airbrush, they're thin enough to just put straight into an airbrush. You don't have to thin them, which is awesome.
Oh, that's incredible.
Tamiya paints, you can thin with a little bit of alcohol, and they come out really well, and they dry super fast because the alcohol evaporates super quick. Right. But if you're going to spray a lot of it, then wear a respirator. So, again, if you go check out the video I did on this Blade Runner gun, you'll see some of that Tamiya paint in action. If you're doing it for weathering, I would recommend those Createx paints. They're water-based, and they don't dry super... They dry pretty fast, but not super fast. So that might give you a little time to manipulate it once you've sprayed it down if you want to wipe some of it off. So there you go. So just do what I do. I have a box full of every single Tamiya paint, every single Createx paint, every single all-clad lacquer, every single... What's the other one? The leather paint that we like so much. Angela's paint. What was that?
I said Spicy Tie Design just said hello in the chat.
Oh. He's on. I love it. Hey, buddy.
Sorry. Continue.
Yeah, I just have a handful of like systems of paint that I like for a variety of reasons, and I just buy all of them. I have a problem.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you, Jonathan, for reinforcing my habit.
It's a good problem to have.
And then for brushing, I tend to use the Liquitex heavy body paints. Those are awesome as well. Let's keep going here. Dylan has a question. Brad, does it bother you that you're not in the College Game Day commercials anymore?
Yeah.
I didn't know that you were in those commercials.
Yeah. So freshman year, so that was five years ago. Game day, College Game Day, you know, the football program, they came to our campus because we had a big time football game. And I was living in the dorms at the time, and I had my closet, and then I had my Master Chief costume just shoved on top. And my roommate, I can't believe he didn't give me crap for that. I love you, David. Anyway, so 4 o'clock in the morning, got in the suit with another guy down the hall because nobody else wanted to go with me. And we got in front of the line, and we got in the very front, and we got right on game day. And then, like a year later, we were watching ESPN, and we were on the stinking College Game Day commercial, and it was getting played like every 10 minutes, and it was there going like this, this stupid Master Chief costume.
That is awesome.
It bothers me. You got to bring that back, ESPN. Come on.
Cool. Evil Ted wants to see the video. Ted, if you find a YouTube link of that video, I will be happy to play it.
Yes.
So toss it back your way, buddy. Go find that video.
Golly, I think I've got it on my phone somewhere.
We'll see if Evil Ted can navigate the YouTubes and find it. Someone in the chat will find it, I'm sure.
All right. I know I got on ESPN last year when we crowd surfed.
Yeah.
up the entire stands. But other than that, nah, man, game day is the bomb.
Someone will find it. Let's see. You have prop darts. You have till the end of the show to find the link to that video, and we'll play it. Oh, someone already found it.
Oh, my gosh, they did?
You guys are so good.
I need this.
Oh, my God, yes. Hold on. Oh, no, wait. This is from your YouTube channel.
Gotcha. No, it's like a 2-second clip of just going like this.
But this one is Master Chief running around at a football game, which is pretty fantastic.
That was insane.
Were you guys like known on campus for being those guys that run around in a Master Chief costume?
This was before the whole Living with Chief started, so our faces weren't really out there at all.
Well, that's what I mean though. Is like, was it kind of a thing on campus, like sometimes some crazy guy in a Master Chief costume would show up and run around?
Yeah. Yeah. There was, whenever we would get in the costume, people would come up and, you know, be like, oh, yeah, I saw you last year or whatever. You know, we definitely, they just didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
You know, the college newspaper did some article on that. And so that was fun. But other than that, I was in engineering school, so that's kind of I didn't really tell anybody or anything in college that this is my hobby. You know, just my roommates were kind of and they were doing it right along with me. To their friend groups, they kind of knew what was going on.
Yeah,
but to mine in engineering, I really didn't tell very many people.
That makes me wish I did more stuff outside when I was in college, but I usually just stayed inside playing Counter-Strike.
Gosh, man.
Let's see here. The last question was from Dylan. Got another one here from John. A lot of Johns today. I don't know what's going on there. He says, I would like to display the stuff I've made in a cool way, like the wall behind me. I've got my wall up there. But not put a bunch of holes in the wall. Well, that was my solution. I just put a bunch of holes in the wall. Any recommendations?
Oof.
You could
pins, making smaller
maybe
holes.
Maybe just not giant holes. They make some of the things we have up there. They make these hooks that poke into the wall and then curve back into the wall. And there's just a tiny hole and a fairly strong hook. I think they're called invisible hooks. Let me look that up.
You know, 3M hooks have taken the paint off my walls.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, okay. I'm going to put these on because I'm not going to put a hole in the wall. And then there's this like spot of just white. I'm just like, come on, I should have put a hole in the wall. But, you know, they do make really good, you know, hole fillers, you know, go to, I don't know. I think putting the hole in the wall is a good thing. And especially if you have extra paint, you're just plugging them up is really easy to do.
I found it. The monkey hook picture hanger monkey hook. So it's a thin, wire that's curved in a way that it punches a very small hole, but once you punch it in, it curves back and presses against the back of the drywall, and it actually makes a fairly strong hook with a very minimal hole. So I recommend you get something like that to hang stuff.
Good question. I still need to do that too. So my gosh, monkey hooks.
Monkey hooks. I'll drop a link in the chat there for you.
Man, I need all of these links.
I know, right? This is actually doing the live Q&As for me is why I've spent like, I don't know, $20,000 on Amazon this year or something ridiculous. That's really cool. I'll buy one of those. Sure, why not? I already have to buy that mirror chrome stuff.
Yeah, you do. $20,010 this year. Come on, keep going.
Spaz sticks, mirror chrome paint. There we go. Adding that to my cart right now.
You got it. It's the greatest.
Oh, that's a tiny. It's a 2-ounce bottle. Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty small. If it's for your airbrush, I mean, it's good stuff. I've never used airbrush stuff because I haven't used an airbrush. But other than that, you know.
Let's see here. John also says he has a Master Chief motorcycle helmet that's DOT approved. That's amazing. Is that a thing that would like a product that was made at some point? That's cool. Master Chief motorcycle helmet. Something I like to point out too, we were at the Halloween store, the Spirit Halloween, and they have fairly decent looking Master Chief helmets there for like $30.
Yeah, I know.
They're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Yeah. They're getting better.
They are.
They've been bad in the past, and they've really stepped up their game.
They have.
I don't know if that's good or if it's bad.
I think it's good. I think it's great. As like an entry level, if you're just getting into it and you want to just maybe do a repaint on it, then...
Oh, yes. That's a fact. I mean, yeah. There's been a lot of people that have just bought those helmets and have painted them. Man, that's exactly how you get into those. You know, I started by, you know, buying one of those Halo 3 container, or, you know, those... You know what I'm talking about? The case that came with the legendary Halo 3 edition.
Right.
It was this Master Chief helmet, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And I, you know, carved everything out of the inside and made that into a helmet, you know, painted that. That's kind of how I started. You know, I love doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, starting small really is a good way to test the waters.
I also wish...
My buddy Dylan, who was my roommate sophomore year, thank you for asking that game day question. You just sent me a message. You're awesome, dude.
I have not played Titanfall, but I kind of wish I did, because the Titanfall 2 helmet that they made looks incredible.
Oh,
it looks so good.
Yeah.
I almost bought it, and I haven't even played the game.
Yeah, me either. It's insane. Oh, like, man. Stuff like that inspires the bejesus out of me.
Thank you for the question, John. Have fun out there being safe with your Master Chief motorcycle helmet. Grabbing another question here. This one's from Radio Man. It says, for 3D prints, do you use XTC 3D? And if not, what's your alternative go-to product for coating? Brad, have you done much with the 3D printing?
I've done a little bit. I've never owned a 3D printer.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my intro into 3D printing was Shapeways.
Yeah,
a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
And then OU, the University of Oklahoma, the college that I went to, they opened up this innovation hub, which is the coolest thing in the world. And they had like 8 different MakerBots.
Ooh.
Oh no, craft bots.
Okay.
And I took a class my senior year on actually 3D printing and prototyping.
Sweet.
One of my projects was to make something, and, you know, I've done a lot of finishing 3D printed parts, but I was able to, you know, do a lot with 3D printing, and it's pretty straightforward if you know how to 3D model. And that's something that I really kind of delved into my senior year also. And that's what I do for a living now, is I do a lot of 3D modeling.
Oh, neat. Cool. I like 3D modeling. Big fan. So did you do much, you ever use XTC 3D?
I didn't. Did you know?
I've used it a couple of times. I'm actually using it on the helmet that I was sanding, and it's fine. The only thing is, like, if you have any fine detail, it's gonna get in there and it's gonna pool and it's gonna kind of round over that detail. So right. For like, oh look, I have a gun that I 3D printed right here. Look at that. How about that? What luck? All the cosmetic parts are 3D printed, and then the handle and everything is an airsoft gun. I printed this in ABS plastic because ABS is easier to sand. So I sanded it and I primed it and I painted it. If you sand it well enough, you don't have to worry about coating it with anything, because that coating is really just to get rid of that 3D printing texture. The helmet, it's a tank trooper helmet. I printed on the Anet A8. The print was rough, if I'm being generous. And there was a lot of smooth surfaces on that helmet, so I didn't feel too worried about coating it in a layer of epoxy. The irony is, and you guys will see this when I do a video on it, the surface was so rough that I ended up sanding almost all of the XTC 3D off. And there are a couple of spots on the helmet with little inlaid details, and those got, no matter how careful I was, those got filled in with a little bit of that epoxy pooling. So I had to go back in with a Dremel tool and clean that out a little bit. It wasn't too bad, and again, you'll see it in the video once that comes out. But those are all things you need to keep in mind. if you have something with a ton of intricate detail, actually on the helmet, there were a couple of thin rings that were just completely filled in. Like, you will never see them again. So tiny, intricate detail will get completely filled in with XTC 3D. So I usually prefer to sand it first with like 100 or 220 grit sandpaper, spray it with a filler primer, and then sand it again. And then if it needs any more work, I'll do another pass of filling and sanding.
Right.
So,
and hey, if you haven't seen Bill's video on that 3D printed gun, a banger, if I do say so myself. Go
this
watch
was,
it.
This was a lot of fun. Because yeah. I got to make muzzle flash effects and be a goofball, which was a lot of fun.
After Effects is the bomb. Did you use After Effects?
Did I? I think I did that all in Premiere. I think I just
nice.
I just added
impressive.
Yeah, I just, what did I do? I can't remember. I just added single images of muzzle flashes, which is funny. This airsoft gun actually fires at a ridiculously fast rate. So the muzzle flashes absolutely do not match up with the actual shots, but it happens right. so fast you can't tell. The muzzle flashes are every other frame.
Ah.
And you can't do it any faster than that. And this right. thing was shooting faster than every other frame. It was ridiculous. So, little movie magic for you guys.
Love it.
All right, there you go. It's hard to get away with not sanding when it comes to finishing your 3D prints. So, good luck, Radio Man. Last question. No pressure.
And then I have a question, though.
You have a question. All right, last one from the chat. This comes from Meeg. I'm really small and find that most common armor-making materials look extra bulky on me. Do you have any recommendations for thinner but sturdy-ish material for your armor? I heard it's really great to use trash cans. That's what I heard.
It's actually bad. Actually really bad.
What you do most of your stuff with foam. Are you using just like floor mat foam?
Yep. Yeah, from Harbor Freight, you know, the generic go-to.
Yep.
I know a lot of people go to Amazon now.
Yep. You can get that stuff rolled up, and it's usually closer to a quarter inch thick, the rolls of foam, floor mat foam. So to make it look less bulky, you might just try a thinner foam.
Right.
Yeah. I think Harbor Freight sells it in rolls as well. Let me look.
Yeah. Harbor Freight, I've done a lot with Harbor Freight, and each at least maybe this is just my Harbor Freight, is each package is like a hit or miss with the quality.
Oh,
of the
yeah.
foam. And it's just like such a frustrating, I mean, you know, they're 10 bucks, so, you know, it's not that big of a deal, but it's still like, yeah, you know, it's sad. So
yeah.
I don't know. Does Amazon have a little better way of, you know, is their quality a little better?
It depends. We Sell Mats does a pretty good job. If you want to spend, it's not too much pricier actually. If you want to get the good stuff, go to TNT Cosplay Supply. They cool. sell rolls in a variety of thicknesses. So you could get something that is, let's say, 6 millimeters thick instead of 10 millimeters thick.
Right.
And then I also found with armor, if you have, let's say, a cuff around your wrist and you just cut that piece at 90 degrees and right. it's just got that sharp angle there, it looks bulkier. If you taper the edge, like go in with a Dremel and just taper around the edge of it so that the very edge is much, much thinner, it will actually look less bulky on you.
Right.
In the meantime, I don't do that because I want to make sure I look super bulky because I want to be Lord Chex.
Right. No, that's the same with me is everything that I've made has been like, you know, I'm a really skinny person.
I want to look bigger.
No, but it makes it a lot easier to make it, you know, to make these costumes bulkier and make them look more proportional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you're looking for making something a little bit more thin, definitely the thinner foam is a good idea.
There
and
you
I
go.
Use a lot of craft, just little craft mats from Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
They come in, what is it, like 2 millimeter, 3 millimeter, and 5 millimeter. Those are good stuff.
Yes, they are. Awesome. That is it for the questions from our awesome prop tarts. You guys are fantastic. I see a hand up. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I've got a question for you, Bill.
Yeah. All right.
You use Barge.
I do. I do.
You do. Why?
Because Evil Ted told me to. That's why.
Okay. And we're done. Thanks for watching.
It's really, there are lots of contact cements out there. So I worked with Frank Ippolito, and they tried a bunch of different stuff in their shop. He likes Drop.
Nice.
Which is another brand of contact cement. These are all toxic, so just so everyone knows. The thing is availability, right?
Sure.
So if you go to the hardware store, you can get DAP Weldwood, which is also a contact cement. It's right. Not as good as Barge. So if I use DAP Weldwood, because Lowe's carries, I can just go to Lowe's 5 minutes away and get it. I'll brush a layer on, especially if I'm gluing seams together. I'll brush a layer on, let it dry 5 minutes, brush a second layer on, let it dry 5 minutes again, and then I will stick it together. And that seems to work pretty well. You don't have to do that with Barge. It's super, super strong. DAP, or what was the other one? Drop? If you can get your hands on that, maybe give that a try. I don't know. All of this stuff is available in LA because they use it for movie making. So that's why right. Frank got his. And then if you're in the UK, Alpha Fixofix is the good stuff. That's what our friends over at Arty Fakes use. Alpha Fixofix. It's a weird word, but it's definitely a real thing.
So there I've seen a lot of people moving away from, you know, using hot glue or, you know, the more, I guess, dainty adhesives.
Yeah. I mean, I made my whole Mass Effect suit with super glue. Like, it worked. Right. It was a pain in the ass. I just didn't know about contact cement. So you could do it. And Dave over at Evil Effects still just uses hot glue for everything, but he's also a crazy person. So
you know, see, I also use hot glue for everything.
Yeah. Oh well, there you go. I guess you're in the club.
But there's a reason, Bill. I don't know. It's if you're gonna make your costumes for you know, cosplay or you know, just going to conventions and keeping them in the top tip shape, you know, and, you know, Barge and those more intense adhesives are really a great thing to use. My costumes are designed with the presumption that they're going to break. So I use hot glue because I want the suits to fail along a seam.
Yep.
So along the edges, right? If something's going to break, I don't want the foam, you know, the actual piece of armor to break. So that's why the Master Chief, and you've seen the Master Chief suit in person, Bill.
Yeah.
It's a wreck. It looks better on camera. But even still, it's still destroyed. But the reason why it's still alive is just because we've been able to glue it back together.
So yeah, you just glue it back together along the seams, just stick them back together.
I'm glad, and you know, Barge is great. I'm glad I didn't use Barge for that because I feel like it just would be dead right now. But so when you're making your costume, it's important to consider what you're going to be doing with it.
That's true.
Choosing a adhesive to use.
Our buddy Hey Patch in the chat says that he says Poundland contact cement for the win. If you're in the UK, they have stores called Poundland, which I think is great.
Yo, Bill, I'm not in the UK. How do I get Poundland?
For the other people.
Oh, you're right. I keep on forgetting.
Poundland. That's their dollar store. Awesome. It's called Poundland. That is all the questions. This has been the Contact Cement Hour with Bill and Brad.
Hey.
Everyone, go to impactprops.net. Go click on the videos. The one that's up there right now features me in the thumbnail, so you should probably click on it.
Probably.
And then you should subscribe and go watch all of the videos.
And go follow Bill if you don't not following Bill.
Okay, that's a good idea.
How are you not following
Bill? I don't know. Brad, thanks so much for hanging out. It's been awesome, man. Can't wait to hang out with you again.
Thanks for having me.
That's all we have for you today, gang. You guys are awesome. Keep bringing the great questions. Keep hanging out in the Prop Tart group. And I guess that's it. We will see you all next week for another exciting edition Prop Live Q&A. Yeah. Yay.